Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
Like, unlike block. When you come around my way, you gotta stop. If you on my block, WHCR 93.3 FM, we on underdog stuff with Gregory Neesmith, lots of letters, and you know we about to get into the game right now. I said it, unlike block.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Where we freestyle sometimes. Well, actually, Asha freestyles, and I get to like be the like beatbox, and
I'm
the hype man.
I like that.
Like Flavor Flav over here.
Split star.
Yes.
Split star to the buster.
Who's Cameron's hype man?
Jimmy and Jewels.
I don't know if they would like that. That you just.
That's what I'm saying. but they would agree. Because Cam is the leader. Like, none of them think they're better than Cam. Because it's Dipset. Cam taught everybody.
People might know them and call you right now.
And they would all agree. Everybody knows.
Eric code 212-650-6903. The views expressed by Asha Davis are not necessarily those represented by Gregory when it comes to hip-hop and Cameron.
I love Jimmy. He would never disrespect Cam, and neither would Jules.
Bowling! It's time for a like, unlike. Dipset.
Ow.
All right, so I'm scrolling through my feed, and this is the first story that came up.
Like, unlike block. Okay.
So I read the title, and it says, federal report on human-caused-related climate change. There is no convincing alternative explanation.
I mean, that seems pretty much a fact.
Like, unlike a block.
I mean, I like that. That is true. That is, I don't know why they need to waste money on more reports. This is an unequivocal fact.
I'm just saying. It seemed like new news to me. The reason why I actually did like it is because it came out from... It was reported from the U.S. government from 13 different agencies as part of a congressionally required national climate change assessment. And the crazy thing is that this came out from the government while Trump is the leader of the government.
Right. But this was a report that was sanctioned prior to his, and they actually tried to cancel it. And the agency said, no, we're doing it.
And I'm glad they didn't, because the assessment concludes, based on extensive evidence, that it is extremely likely that human activity, especially emissions of greenhouse gases, are the dominant cause of the observed warming since the mid-20th century. For the warming over the last century, there is no convincing alternative explanation supported by the extent of the observational evidence.
Yeah. Basically, in a nutshell, humans are causing climate change by pollution. Full stop. 2017. We've known this for 50 years. Hello.
But the White House said,
"Sorry,
that the climate."
Kiss my teeth like a Jamaican.
I know that was very good. I haven't heard that sound in a while. People, underdogs, whenever you hear that sound, somebody's really not believing you at all. It's not a good sound when you hear that sound. But the White House said that climate has changed and is always changing. And it pointed to portions of the report about the uncertainty around the Earth's sensitivity to greenhouse gases emissions. The White House is like, yeah, the climate's changing, because the climate always changes.
Right, but we're talking about the speed at which the climate is changing, which is exponentially faster than it's changed at any other time in history, which is unequivocally linked to human pollution activities that are corroding and eroding our atmosphere and our oceans and melting our glaciers, which is causing the world to heat up.
underdogs. If you were scrolling through your feed.
Like, this is insane. I dislike the White House trying to say, nah.
And you saw the title of a, you know, because people send out different articles. And if it said federal report on human caused climate change, would you like, unlike, or block? Asha would like it. I would like it. Trump would block it.
You know what? I'm just going to go to Daryl, who says that 2017 will be the third hottest year on record. Just as a FYI, you know what the first and second, you know what the first and second were?
What were the first and second years?
Basically last year and the year before.
That ain't good.
I can't with these guys, you know?
Okay. All right. So got it. We're going to like it, but Trump will block that article. All right.
FYI, Keon says he be loving the freestyle. So I'm going to keep it up.
Yep. Please do. And I'm going to continue to be like, oh, hey. And make sure the sound is right. All right. The next, I'm scrolling through my news feed, social media feed this week, and then this article pops up. And the title of it was, and we're going to figure out whether you would, I would, like, unlike, a block, Walmart to pay $7.5 million to man injured by a watermelon. Let me repeat this. I'm scrolling through my social media feed.
What ethnicity is the man?
I'm scrolling through my social media feed. I saw the climate change thing. I was like, oh, that, you know, let me look at that. And then the next thing I see is someone posts an article that says Walmart to pay $7.5 million, not watermelon, $7.5 million to a man injured buying watermelon. First, I thought it was fake news. You know how some of your friends post stuff, you're like, they need to check the website that they're posting stuff from. Or like, why did they even think that this was true? But I clicked on the link. It was from a paper I'd never heard of. So then I literally Googled watermelon and millions of dollars in Walmart. And then an article came up in the Huffington Post and Fox News. I was like, oh, snap, this is real.
Wow.
And by the way, watermelon is my favorite.
What ethnicity was the person?
I'm not sure because it says
for me that plays a role in my assessment of whether I like, dislike, or block.
Hold on, you don't like somebody getting $7.5 million?
I would like to know if it was a black man who finally made a come up off some watermelon. Because remember the comedian that made millions of dollars from smashing watermelons? Was that a black person?
Gallagher.
No, it was not a black person. He stole black people's stuff and made mad money. So now if it's not a black person that's getting paid millions of dollars, you know how many black people been injured by watermelons? They ain't never get 7.5 mil, but if it is a black person, I'm gonna go ahead and like that, share that.
Underdogs, would you like, share, or block? As I looked into the story, an Alabama jury has decided that the Army veteran who broke his hip while picking out a watermelon at a Walmart store should receive $7.5 million. It's retired Sergeant Henry Walker. He was 59, and in June of 15, when he went shopping at Walmart in Phoenix City, Alabama, Walker reached for the watermelon. His foot got stuck in the side of a wooden pallet under the display, and that led him to fall and shatter his hip. And that's what happened.
Well, we've got two likes and potentially a third once I find out the ethnicity.
Separately.
But I do like the fact that it was a veteran. You know, I do stand with the veteran.
And speaking of that, yesterday was Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously our salute and our appreciation to all the veterans who are both alive and who have served.
Yeah.
And obviously our prayers and much respect for those who gave their lives to fight for this country.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all the veterans out there. And am I going to like this? $7.5 million is a lot of money.
Daryl wants to know. Oh, yes.
There should be like a fourth button. Like, I'm just going to keep it moving. But no, I'm gonna like it.
You're gonna like it. All right. So we got no dislikes for the watermelon and no blocks. That's good.
No. So all right. The next story. This is for all my sports fans out there. Do you know who Tony Romo is?
Yes, I do. He's a Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
And do you know who Deion Sanders is?
Oh, one of the best Dallas Cowboys of all time, Neon Deion.
Prime time. Who also played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah, later on.
Yeah, he ended up winning a Super Bowl with both the 49ers and with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Yes. And so I'm scrolling through my social media feed, mm-hmm. and you know how people post videos. And there was this video that was posted that I had no context. I'm just like scrolling, and it's like Tony Romo and Deion Sanders. And this is what happened. And let me know, are you going to like, unlike, or block?
Man, I don't know if you know this. You made the broadcast on CBS, on the big one. Uh-oh. Yeah, give a listen. Peters doesn't want to tackle. That's one of the things I'm telling you. He's really good out there at the corner off coverage, but in tackling, not his thing. No, and he makes Deion Sanders look good at tackling sometimes.
See, Tony, I tried my best to take the high road, but I don't know the address to the high road. So I got to come at you, man. You 10 years as a starter, you're 2-4 in the playoffs. You ain't won nothing. I tried to bury the hatchet. Both of us worked for CBS. I went and shook your hand and say, Tony, you're doing a great job this year. I thought that would be it. But nevertheless, you keep on shouting at me. Tony, what's going on, man? I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy. Dak says hi. And bye. Tony, leave me alone, man. I got a lot of ammunition, man. How many interceptions? 19 and 2012, come on, man. You threw to everybody but me. Tony, come on, man. You know you never won the big one. So stop, man. Leave me alone. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address. All right.
Yo, that's my new favorite line. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address.
I can't put it in Uber if I don't know the address.
I went into my Google Map looking for high roads and I couldn't find it. Michelle Obama must say, when they go high, we go low. Deion says, I don't know the address. Can't find it.
I'm only take the roads I know.
My signal's low. I can't access my maps.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm super liking this one. I love some good trash talk.
Oh, that's funny. Super liking it like it's a hot girl on Tinder.
I mean, the line is priceless. And then he goes at him with actual facts. Like, trash talk with facts is like, and then sprinkle in the high road comment.
Yeah, that's hot. Daryl has a great comment on Facebook Live. He says, Primetime lit into Romo. I loved it. Primetime was right. There are only 305 Hall of Famers. Deion is one of them. Romo is not. And never will be. Deion was great. Tony was good enough to keep you into the game and bad enough to lose it for you. Yikes. The man said he got a gold jacket that he didn't buy, yo. That's rude.
And then he rapped. He said something about something says hi. Dak says hi, who's the quarterback that replaced him, and then says bye.
Ouch.
He rhymed, dissed, and gave us a phrase that I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out when and where can I use. I wanted to take the high road, Asha, but I can't find the address.
The next time that somebody comes at you with some foolery, you know, the previous me would have taken the high road, but the new me don't know the address, so here's the deal. Yeah,
my Wi-Fi ain't working. I can't find it.
That's funny.
Prime time. With that, though, I'm still not watching football, but that clip was priceless.
That's hard not to watch football during this time of year. Isn't this like big for football with like American Thanksgiving coming up and all that?
Yo, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. Like, I saw one of my boys post on Facebook that he also was boycotting the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then he said his dad came over and turned the TV to the football game. And he was like, I guess I'm gonna watch a football game. Like, this man has like worked his whole life. He's my dad. Like, if he wants to watch the game, he's like, I guess I'm just gonna sit here and watch the game. And I started thinking, ooh, I'm about to go home for Thanksgiving and it's gonna be three football games on. And I know my dad's gonna wanna watch the game.
you might, I mean, it's about family. What's more important to you, spending time with your family, watching the good old game, or standing with Cap?
I mean, the show's like Who's the Winner is on that Thursday. Family is going to win.
Exactly. Even Cap would say, to hang out with your daddy.
Yeah, family's going to win.
Exactly.
And shout out to my friend who had that same experience where, guess what? His dad won. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to sit here and watch the game with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, underdogs, let us know if you would like, unlike, or block Tony Romo and Deion Sanders. And if somebody comes at you and you want to go get them, just let them know your Wi-Fi and your phone ain't working and you can't put in the address and you can't find the high road. You just can't find it, so you're going at them. With that, more.
Just tell them you got gold jackets that you ain't buy, yo. Because that's what I took out of that. Like, son, I ain't have to buy my gold jackets, right? I won.
With that, today's episode, and the winner is, and clearly Deion was the winner of that one. We're going to take a quick break and then more of the Gregory Deesman Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Deesman Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporters that accidentally find the show. I know some of y'all Trump supporters may not be feeling too good this week after some of those L's this week in the recent elections, but, you know, we'll see what happens in 2018. With that, today's episode, and the winter is, and the winter is.
And the winter. Yes. It sure is.
Winter's winning too, because it's cold out these past couple days. Speaking of climate change, a lot of swings in the climate. But anyway, and shout out to the just punishment for LiAngelo, and we wish him safe return to the United States, as we were talking about what happened to the Ball family out in China, which Asha visited to China.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks out there.
Underdogs, get your passport so you can be like Asha and travel the world. All right, Unlisted, where we take a look at a list out there and we either embrace it, critique it, or a little bit of both. And this week, the Unlisted, and actually this month, the Unlisteds have been in the spirit of looking back, because not only is it a time where we look back as a show because it's our 1 year anniversary this month, but we also look back because it's my birthday in November. November 22nd is coming up. So always a reflective time for me to kind of look back at life.
Go shorty, it's your birthday. You're going to party like it's your birthday. You're going to sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. Because we don't give a. It's not your birthday.
Yeah.
7 seconds.
Yes. Thank you. Because if you did that, then I don't know the address.
We're going to have a ball. It's your birthday.
We're going to party like it's your birthday. All right. So this week's Unlisted is a list I came across called 11 Iconic Moments from the 90s that have shaped our generation.
Mm.
The 90s. For me, the 90s, I was age 15 to 25. I started the 90s in high school at 15. And ended the 90s at 25, living in the New York City area.
Nice.
Yes. And it was a decade to me that I think of as the height of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a time when things about being single felt dangerous. There was the HIV epidemic became very widely known. Guys like Magic Johnson announces that he has HIV and he's leaving the NBA. But then it was also seemed like the decade where being single became popular, too, because of some of the things you saw on TV and shows that were popularized. So for me, the 90s definitely shaped a lot of my life. And also for me, it's probably my most enjoyable decade of my life so far.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the 90s mean a lot to me. Now, do the 90s mean much to you? I mean, we're different ages.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the 90s is definitely the culture that the time that I revere in terms of, to your point, music. You know, the decade that I most go back to listening to old music from is certainly the 90s. Definitely, you know, I remember the TV shows that I loved, whether it was Saved by the Bell or Seinfeld. A lot of those are from the 90s as well. So definitely have a lot of heart for that decade. I would say, you know, mine actually seeps into the 2000s a little bit. Like, I love 3-6 Mafia. So it's like the 99s to the 2000s, you know? So I kind of slipped past the 90s and went on that.
Okay, fair enough. But the 90s, you have some love for the 90s.
I have a lot of nostalgic love for the 90s.
All right. Well, this article talked about 11 key moments. We won't talk about all 11, but we'll highlight a couple of them. One, the World Wide Web launches and the information age arrives.
Mm-hmm. We're the last generation born before the internet existed. We're the only generation that saw it come to life.
We definitely did. And Underdogs, while you're going along on this journey with us, let us know some of your memorable moments from the 90s. I remember, I think it was 94, was the first time I got email.
Oh, and what was it?
It was Andre Smith 007 007 at hotmail.com.
Who's Andre?
So this is the thing.
No, uninhibited's coming early. What was the fake name that you told?
No, so this is the thing. The web and email was this new thing, and I remember it came out. It was like, you can sign up for this thing called Hotmail. And this is me being a bit of a naive teenager. Hot to me meant like stolen, like it wasn't legit. And I was just like, yo, this thing doesn't, I don't know how legit this thing is. So I'm not going to use my real name.
I thought you were going to say you thought Hotmail was like sexy guy.
No, I thought it was like hot, like stolen. Like, so I'm like, yo, this could be some scam. Like, I don't really know who knows who Microsoft is, like Hotmail. Like, why they call it hot? Like, this just sounds like a setup. But I'm like, yo, people are trying it, so I'm going to try it too. And so Andre is my middle name. Smith is part of my last name. I just chopped off the N-E, so the Neesmith became Smith. And then one of my favorite movies was James Bond, 007. So I was Andre Smith, 007 at hotmail.com. that
ridiculous. Although mine was also sexy Dougla at hotmail.com.
You have no say now in this guy. Like, you literally, you should just retract we should rewind the last 3 minutes and start over, and you just go, oh, that's awesome that your name was Andre Smith at 007. We should start over, because your name was what? Your first email? And Underdogs out there, what was your first email handle? Because a lot of y'all got some email handles that you wouldn't use on LinkedIn today. What was your first?
Oh, sexy.dougla at hotmail.com.
I would take the high road.
But I don't know the address. I would take the high road, but I don't know the address, so I got to take the side road.
I don't know the address.
Take the side road to the high road.
All right. Another big moment.
A Dougla is a half black, half Indian person in Trinidad. That's what that means. Anyway, so the second thing about the 90s, sorry, Keon says 93 to 98 was the ish, so we got some love there.
Thank you, sexy Dougla. I would take the high road, but I don't know the address, sexy Dougla.
Okay, Andre 007.
That's Smith.
To you.
Smith.
Okay. Trisha Andre. Smith says y'all are killing her, yo. Speaking of Smiths, thanks for tuning in, Trish.
Appreciate you. Shout out to, speaking of the 90s, one of the things I was doing in the 90s, I was at college where Trisha, along with some other underdogs out there, we all met and would be lifelong friends. And you meet a lot of folks in college that you end up knowing for the rest of your life. So shout out to the 90s and to Trisha and to all the folks from UPenn in Philadelphia. All right, another big moment that happened, the Rodney King verdict and LA riots tear the nation apart.
Yeah.
And I think we all remember the... can't we all just get along?
Can't we all just get along?
And fast forward to today, the answer would be no, unfortunately. And obviously very memorable case where Rodney King was beaten brutally, and it was caught on videotape. And this was during a time where we didn't always have camera phones and things like that. So it was a big deal to see it on tape, and people thought things would end differently than they did. But unfortunately, a subsequent trial where those officers were found innocent, and that would then ignite some of the riots.
It's funny that was in the 90s, and yet it's still so relevant today.
Yeah, it's like literally just put in different names and the content, the situation continues to plague us.
And unlike, you know, now the only difference is then it took a dude walking around with one of those huge handheld video cameras to capture what happened to Rodney King. Whereas now, you know, everybody has a video camera in their pocket. So we're seeing it more and more. Yeah. Not that it's happening any differently, I don't think, anyways.
No, unfortunately. And then speaking of trials, another big moment from the 90s, I can't believe it was so long ago. O.J. Simpson chase, trial, and acquittal.
I mean, again, talk about still relevant today, right? O.J. just got out of jail.
He did. If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit.
I mean, he did get acquitted from that, but, you know.
Yeah, that was, and I think for me, what I remember too is, it was, I don't want to know if I call it reality TV, but I remember it feeling like it was the first time, at least in my life, that trials were like on TV. Mm-hmm. Like they actually broadcasted the trial. Like it became like tabloid reality TV and everybody watched. And then when the verdict was announced, there was parts of the country that were like disappointed and like frustrated. And then other parts of the country were like cheering as if like we won a prize for OJ being acquitted. It was.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because too, I remember, you know, coming home from school and, you know, the babysitters would have the, you know, O.J. Simpson trial on. And before that, it's like, you know, soap operas or cartoons. So like even the kids, like it was definitely for me what I remember the first time being so exposed and people actually answering my questions when I was like, why are you guys watching this for so long? You know?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Another moment from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about this earlier in the show too. Bill Slick Willie Clinton.
Why you gotta call him Slick Willie?
That was one of his nicknames. And fast forward to today, we got politicians still crossing the line related to sexual harassment, sexual assault, along with the other things that they do as politicians. But Bill Clinton was a memorable figure from the 90s. And also, I remember the phrase like first black president was like one of the slang titles mm-hmm. given to Bill too.
Yep.
And now hindsight, now being older, like how disrespectful was that? Like he was not the first black president.
Not, I know.
And we would come to, you know, eventually have the first black president be Barack Obama, the 44th president. But crazy. Bill Clinton was definitely obviously a memorable moment from the 90s. Also Seinfeld, Friends, and the new American sitcom about single people.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of sitcoms had families.
Like husband, wife, kids.
Yeah. And Friends and Seinfeld became some of the first popular sitcoms where it was about single adults who were past the age of like they should quote unquote have a family.
And fast forward again, talk about still relevant today. Millennials are taking longer and longer to have kids and get married. So I guess we learned from Seinfeld.
They were ahead of their time or right on time or part of the cultural movement. Also, another big moment from the 90s. And Underdogs, let us know some of your memorable moments from the 90s. Remember Napster and the rise of digital content? Napster, getting that free music. It was something that eventually would later become problematic because of copyright issues and things like that and pirating music. But they were probably one of the people at the forefront of people wanting to get music digitally.
Napster, LimeWire, we all got a couple of viruses on our PCs from those programs, I would say.
So you used to use Napster?
Going to our Facebook Live comments.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you talking real.
Keon says that. Keon says that the reason that these are still relevant is because nothing changes. This is America.
Well, there is that saying that only the names change, the stories stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse, and sometimes for worse, a lot of these stories have stayed the same and only the names have changed.
Hmm.
Which is unfortunate. With that though, there is one of the moments from the 90s that I wish that the content and the faces would have kind of stayed the same, is rap music.
Rap.
The 90s were also memorable for rap music, and the new hip-hop sparked debates over race, class, and censorship. It was considered the golden age of hip-hop.
I agree.
And I don't know if that story stayed the same right now. I don't know if this will be considered the golden age of hip-hop right now.
I think people like Chance and Kendrick are definitely speaking to the new generation, for sure.
They are.
And I definitely think they are carrying the torch. People like J. Cole, definitely.
And maybe they'll carry the torches of the Dr. Dre and the Chronic.
Yeah, well.
Or Snoop Dogg and Doggy Style.
I mean, Kendrick.
Tupac and All Eyes on Me.
Again.
Notorious Big I.G. Ready to Die.
Did you say Notorious Big I.G.?
Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
Ready
you
to Die.
You could just say Biggie.
I could. Or Christopher Wallace.
Dale had a good comment that you, because you were talking about Clinton being president and sort of his story being still relevant. And I think this is a great comment. He says, when Clinton was president, no one thought it was possible for a black person to actually get elected. And that's in the 90s. So what I'm glad that has changed,
yeah,
is that that notion has changed, that now in 2017, regardless of what we have in the White House now, at least we know what's possible.
Very, very well said. It is still one of the obviously most memorable moments, at least for me personally in my life, was election night, November 2008. And shout out to the 90s.
Well, and also in the 90s, there is a sad side to it, as Facebook Live has pointed out. Shout out to Daryl, who says that in the 90s could also be known as the dark days of hip hop, because as much as the things we loved, we also lost. We lost Biggie, lost Tupac, and we lost Eazy-E in the 90s.
Man. Yeah, no, there's definitely loss. There's also, speaking of Bill Clinton, to go back to that one, the 94 or 93 crime bill that changed some of the sentencing practices that definitely broke up some families, and it was a war on drugs that turned out to be a war on urban communities. It also turned out to be a war on minorities. So yeah, a lot of things that shape today happen in the 90s, and for me, lots of memories, both good ones, bad ones, and ones that'll stay with me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And later this month, I'll celebrate a birthday and do some reflecting about both the 90s, but also about this past year, which includes the Gregory Nisma Show turning 1 year old.
Don't forget about the 99s to the 2000s. Yeah. 36 Mafia. Anyways, the Gregory Nisma Show, 1 year old. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
Yes, we appreciate you all, underdogs, my people, and even you occasional curious Trump supporters. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.